Belinda Audio presents this unabridged recording of National Velvet, written by Enid Bagnold and read by Annette Chow. At night, when the stars rose over them, they looked like a starlit herd of divine pigs. The villagers called them hullocks. The valleys were full of soft and wind-blown vegetation. The sea rolled at the foot of all as though God had brought his herd down to water. The hullocks were blackening as Velvet cantered down the chalk road to the village. She ran on her own slender legs, making horse noises and chirrups, and occasionally striking her thigh with a switch, holding at the same time something very small before her as she ran. The light on the chalk road was the last thing to gleam and die. The flints slipped and flashed under her feet. Her cotton dress and her cottony hair blew out, and her lips were parted for breath in a sweet metallic smile. She had the look of a sapling Dante as she ran through the darkness downhill. At the entrance to the village, the sea was pounding up the sewer with a spring gale behind it. She passed to the third cottage, stopped at the door, opened it, let a gush of light onto the pavement, closed it, and carried her tender object inside. Edwina, Malvolia and Meredith sat in their father's, Mr. Brown's, sitting room just before supper time. It was dark outside and hot inside, and outside in the darkness the hullocks went up in great hoops above the village. There was an oil stove in the corner of the sitting room and lesson books on the table. The ceiling was low and sagged. An Albert lamp with a green glass shade lit the table. There was no electric light. Donald, the boy of four, was asleep upstairs. Edwina, Malvolia and Meredith were all exactly alike, like golden greyhounds. Their golden hair was sleek, their fine faces like antelopes, their shoulders still and steady like Zulu women carrying water, and their bodies beneath the shoulders rippled when they moved. They were 17, 16, and 15. Velvet was 14. Velvet had short, pale hair, large, protruding teeth, a sweet smile, and a mouthful of metal. Mr. Brown was swilling down the slaughterhouse as My Taylor was away for the day. The sound of the hose swished at the wooden partition which separated the slaughterhouse from the sitting room. "He went beautifully," said Velvet, and laying down a tiny paper horse on the table, she wrenched at the gold band that bound her teeth back and laid it beside the horse.
"Father'll be in a minute," said Edwina warningly.
"It's going in again directly I hear a sound," said Velvet, and sitting down she swept the plate into her lap.
"Look at him," she said lovingly, taking up the paper horse.
"I must unsaddle him and rub him down." The heads were bent on the lesson books again, and Velvet took a tiny bridle of cotton threads from the horse. Then going to a shell box on the sideboard, she brought it to the table.
"It's just supper," said Mally. "You'll have to clear."
Velvet opened the box and took out a stable rubber 2 inches square, a portion of her handkerchief, hemmed round. Laying the little horse flat on the table, she rubbed him with delicacy in circular motions after having taken a paper saddle from his back. The horse was a racer cut from the Bystander. He stood 3 inches high and had a raking neck and a keen, veined face. By dint of much rubbing, the paper had given off a kind of coat, and now, as Velvet rubbed, there came a suede-like sheen on the horse's paper body. He was dark, most carefully cut out, and pasted upon cardboard. The bridle was made by the fingers of a fairy, noseband, chin strap and all, in black cotton.
"He has a high action," said Velvet. "A lovely show canter, but a difficult trot. I didn't jump him today as he needs to settle down.
In the shell box, other horses lay.
There's a marvellous picture of mares on the back of the Times today, but you can't cut a single one clear. They're all mixed up with the foals.
I saw it, said Velvet.